The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Tanya Kaharski from Washington, New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
I'm Karen from Arizona, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Amy from South Dakota, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Kurt Bauer from Syracuse, New York, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hey, this is Lee Zimmerman from San Diego, California, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 527 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Chris is not with us for this show. We've been talking with Amy and Jason Chase, and we've been talking about Amy and Jason's experience at the 2017 Disneyland Paris Half Marathon Weekend, and we're about halfway through, and we're going to continue our discussion right now with a special question from me. I'm curious about when you mentioned that the 5K was at dusk and then the 10K was the following morning. I guess this is probably a tough question to ask, to answer to, but I'm gonna, you have run in Walt Disney World and at least in Walt Disney World, and you've done a 5K, and obviously the next day was a 10K, which was, you know, 24 hours removed from the 5K. So my question is, knowing that you had to run dusk for the 5K and then the 10K the next morning, did you approach the 5K differently? And also, did you notice more people, let's say, walking it or taking it easy on the 5K, realizing that they had to run the very next morning?
That's a good question. I think we took all of our races really slow. I had actually gotten the stomach flu on the first leg of our trip. So there was a point at which I wasn't sure I was going to be able to run at all. So we really approached all of it as taking it really easy. I didn't give, I guess, a lot of extra consideration to running on Friday night and then again Saturday morning. There were definitely walkers and a lot of run walkers, which we are. But there was also people definitely flying by us too. And we couldn't tell at the 5K who was getting up to run the next day. We don't know whether they were participating in all of the races or not.
Cool. Can you tell us about the 10K? What was that like?
Absolutely. I think the 10K was my favorite of the races. It was all in the parks. Started in Disney Village, ran through the Studios Park for about 2K. Then about 5 of it was in Disneyland, and then the final 3 looped back through the studios. So it was a really fun course and really all on property. That race did start on time, so we were very happy about that. Any other details you want to add for that one?
That race had an awesome picture, which opportunity that we weren't able to get because they closed it. It was Aurora and this huge dragon.
Aww.
So that was very disappointing, but it was so cool to see.
And the parks are beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, especially the Disneyland park. So, really fun to just get to run through that and enjoy that.
How did they handle the corrals over there?
3 corrals, and then they released in waves. Okay. I don't really know. We couldn't ever kind of discern how the waves were really working. We couldn't see far enough ahead. I guess we were never far enough up in our corral or in our wave to be able to completely tell how it was working. So in fact, as they were releasing us, every time we looked at each other and went, is this one us? Is this one us? But they seemed to not really line people up by times either. Mm. So for the 5K, they put all the families in Corral B. And then I think they put all of the challenge people together for the next 2 days for the 10K and the half. So it didn't seem to actually matter that we'd submitted a proof of time.
Yeah. We were in Corral B, and there were several people who that was their only race, and it was the first race they've ever run also in Corral B.
Hmm. Wow. So, you know, one of the things that I really love about Run Disney events in Florida and California is that I know that I'm safe. You know, I think that they go out of their way to ensure that the course is safe and, you know, the runners are safe. Did you get that sense in Paris?
No.
Okay. You want to think about it? Okay.
And we actually did a Disney Institute course a couple years ago where they just hammered in the Disney ethic and the thought around safety. So right. To us, we have a little added kind of insight into that, and that we've really taken that into the parks over the last couple of years after seeing that. As we mentioned, there was the dark course on Friday night. There was, I think it was during the 10K, we actually had covered some of the same course that we did during the 5K. And there was this curb area that kind of turned around a curve, and then there was a bump, basically. And I said to Jason, if we were in the U.S., that would have been covered with some huge caution tape and a big mat. They would have had a pre-recorded message saying, caution, bump ahead. And there would have been like 10 cast members lined up, basically alerting you with some kind of a flashlight and making sure everybody was safe. In this case, there was one cast member or volunteer or something who was kind of just watching people go, but there was no attention whatsoever to that curb area. There was another time where we saw just runners being stupid, basically like jumping up on some kind of concrete blockade or something and just being unsafe for themselves and other people around. And again, we just watched I don't know if they were volunteers or cast members or what they were, just watching them do that. It was just unusual for a Disney event.
And that wasn't specific even to the races. It even felt like once you were in the Disney parks during the day, nothing was enforced. You know, when we were watching the parade, we were watching all of these people climb up pillars on Main Street to watch the parade, and you've got Disney employees walking by them, not saying a thing. And also, smoking is not allowed in the parks, but that was never enforced. So, you know, you're standing in line for character meets or standing in line for the parade, and you're just surrounded by people smoking.
Or you're running and people are smoking, which I think that was mentioned a lot as well.
It's like a caricature of France. Oh my goodness.
We really didn't experience the smoking in Paris. To some degree, but not like it was in Disneyland Paris, which was a little surprising.
Wow. That's interesting. All right. On to the half marathon. So what can you tell us about that?
Jason's digging through the notes, and I realized that my notes are a little cryptic. So the half also spent a good amount of time in the parks. We probably did 7K in the parks before we left. and then another 8K in sort of the nearby area, with about three of that going into a nearby village. And we'd heard that described last year, and I pictured myself dressed as Belle running through this Beauty and the Beast city. That's kind of the picture that it had painted for us. What we actually experienced was some apartment buildings. Once we were out in the village, there was some community support out there, some cheerleading groups and bands and things that you would experience with any other Run Disney race. But it really just looked like a development in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then there was a description of running within the French countryside. And we will tell you that the French countryside looks an awful lot like the cows and pastures and cornfields that we run past if we go 5 minutes from our house. So it was
for a lot less money, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that is true.
And then there was one section when you were in the village where you went off-road on this little dirty, gravelly trail, and it had just rained the night before, so it was all sloppy and it wasn't very wide. So that was very surprising from a safety standpoint as well.
But I will say, in the 3 days, that was the only section, and that was not very much of a section, that we had any crowding whatsoever. It was a really comfortable course from that perspective. Even compared to running in Disneyland, we really just had plenty of room to ourselves, which was great.
Yeah, just this morning we watched the video of the finish line when we were crossing it. And I said to Amy, wow, look at how much open space there is between people when they're finishing. So that was very surprising to see how different it was.
Well, you think about it, you had probably, like I said, you had 6,500 running the half, and on a normal day in January, you'd have between 23 and 25,000. So it must have felt like it was almost like a training session with so much space around you, which is nice, because then you can focus on running and you don't have to worry about running around people. And I was going to ask you guys, did you notice anything different about runner protocol over there? Was it any different than over here, or was it the same? Was it better? Was it worse?
I don't know that there was anything different that I noticed during the races. But back to the smoking, we had runners lighting up really when we were just exiting the corrals, which was surprising, I guess.
Wow.
Or, you know, different.
And that was the children.
That was the family, yeah. That was the 5K, yeah.
Oh, and once you got out into the countryside portion of the half marathon, it wasn't uncommon to see people going to the bathroom on the side of the road. So that was different.
So they weren't actually going to the bathroom.
They were right.
They were going to the tree.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow. Interesting. Okay. So tell us what the medals were like. Were you happy with those?
Very. Yes. Mm-hmm. When I wasn't feeling well, I really just said, eye on the prize, that Castle de Chateau medal was what I was running towards. So we were able to complete the challenge, which encompassed running a half marathon in the U.S. and then the half in Paris. The 5K medal was Lumiere and really cute. The 10K medal is the Three Fairies from Sleeping Beauty. I'm blanking. Oh, the half marathon medal was a Mickey medal, and it had some bling on it to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Disneyland Paris.
Hmm.
And then our challenge medal had the fairy godmother on it and is a spinner medal, so that's really cool. And that's for doing the 10K and the half.
Oh, that's cool.
And the medals did add a little stress to the races. Because we were worried if we were going to get one, because they ran out of medals at some races. Oh, which my I've never gosh. Heard of at a Run Disney event.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So you're running a little faster. Oh, my goodness. So if you, I mean, before we get to the question that Mike already alluded to, if you were to next year give Run Disney some advice about maybe three things that they could do to improve the race, what would be the three things?
Focus on safety.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate, which those are really big statements. And start on time.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So getting back to Mike's question, would you do it again? Would you wait a few years? Where do you both land on that?
I think it's a one and done for us. I'm really mm-hmm. glad we did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really special experience, and going to Paris was a dream come true. Seeing a new park was a dream come true. Really, that was really special as well. But I don't think we need to go back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you? Is it the type of thing where you would say everybody should do it once, or? You know, if you had buddies who were thinking of it, what would you say?
I think it depends on what you're looking to get out of it or how bad you want that Castle de Chateau medal. Mm-hmm. For me, I suppose it was worth it, but going to a different country is a whole different element when you're throwing in those runs. So mm-hmm. I would just honestly talk to them about what our experience was and let them decide for themselves how they felt about it. But I think it's really important to understand the differences.
Yeah, we knew that there would be at least some slight differences, because if you notice when you go to the Run Disney site and you click on the Disneyland Paris, it says you're leaving Run Disney. So we understand it as being a separate company, as is almost the same could almost be said for the West Coast division of Run Disney. So, you know, we can always expect some differences, and especially when you're talking, Amy, about going to a different culture, you know, we have to assume that there will be some cultural differences too that would show up. So I'm not surprised at some of the stuff that you've been mentioning, but I'm glad that you went, and I'm glad that you had a good time, and I'm glad that your dream came true. And I'm glad you got to see Paris, and I'm glad you got the medals, and I'm glad you guys came on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you for having us.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Me too. Thank you so much. Very, very interesting. Okay, so that about wraps up the review of the 2017 Run Disney Paris experience with our guests, Amy and Jason Chase from South Dakota. Thank you both so much for taking the time to gather your thoughts about this and be very honest and frank, because I'm sure our listeners will very much appreciate it. So we hope to have you on the show again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. And what's the time difference between South Dakota and New Hampshire?
1 hour.
1 hour. Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. And so for myself, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and my co-host, Mike Scopa, and our co-host on probation, Chris Eliopoulos, we will see you on the road in the parks. A biento!
Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.